States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body. Guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
Amen. Vice President Brown?
Here.
President Chapman?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Morris?
She has excused absence.
Ms. Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
He has excused absence.
Mary Oakley?
Here.
Adoption of agenda. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to adopt the agenda with the exception of...
No, we have anybody who adopted it.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rose, to adopt the agenda as amended.
Call for question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And as adopted by the local five to zero. Approval of the minutes for the June 22nd.
I move the approved minutes.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rose, to approve the minutes as submitted.
Yes.
Mr.
Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Thank you.
And those are approved by the local five to zero. Petition for more of the monster.
Mr. Mayor, the council certainly intends to send up the thoughts and prayers if you have any attorney Dave Rowley and his family.
Thank you.
And we want to committee chair reports. And none, we want to report to city officers. And we want to hold business for this 2015 district appropriation for $33,027.19. Your first reading of June 22nd.
Mayor, I move we have the second reading of order 23-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rose, to have second reading of order 23-2015.
Ordinance 23-2015, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts containing sections 1 and 2 from edit in the total amount of $33,027.19.
Discussion.
Mr. Mayor, this is the subject of a public hearing at 5:45, and let the record show that no one's spoken for or against.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And second reading of ordinance 23-2015 passes by a vote of 5 to 0.
Mayor, I move we have third reading of ordinance 23-2015.
Second. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Brown, to have third and final reading of ordinance 23-2015.
Ordinance 23-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2, $33,027.19. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 23-2015 passes by a vote of 5 to 0. Move on to new business. Item A is tabled. And B, ordinance 24-2015, additional appropriation ordinance from edit funds for $31,207.09.
Mayor, I move we have first reading of ordinance 24-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 24-2015.
Ordinance 24-2015, omitting formal parts sections 1 and 2, three requests from Edit in a total amount of $31,267.09. Excuse me.
I'll be fine.
Now, the first two of these are second amendment.
Croatian pills he's taking.
Right.
And I do like how we're starting to get the printout of the cost with that and the breakdown and giving us that. Can we have an update on that?
Tom Sprague, city engineer. right now, we are in the right-of-way purchasing phase right now. We received the appraisals of the, I think we have 9 parcels that we will be acquiring temporary right-of-way for. The buying process is like a 20-step process, and I think we're a little over halfway down that process now. We've received the appraisals. The mayor will sign off on them, and then they'll go back to the right-of-way group at Lock Mueller Group, and then they'll present the appraisals to the property owners for their signatures. We've been in months and months of negotiations with CSX. We have 2 brick walls, if you will, trying to negotiate an agreement between the two. We have CSX and we have the Army Corps of Engineers for the levee. This is a very complicated intersection. We have 2 railroad crossings and the levee sill that we're trying to correct. We propose a process to CSX to fix the levee. They don't like it, so they propose something, and it's a lot of back and forth, and I think we're just about there on that process, but that slowed the project down drastically. Once right-of-way purchasing is complete, I think we'll be setting a letting date that if we don't have anybody go to condemnation, I think we'll be looking at a spring of next year letting for this project. We've had meetings with the property owners, you know, kind of letting them know this is how the process is working, this is what to expect in the right-of-way process, and we've had, you know, pretty positive feedback, again, because it's all temporary right-of-way, there's no permanent acquisitions. So,
trying to clean up the intersections.
Is that the best case scenario we start in the spring?
Elevation.
I think so.
Elevation for the levee walls, the gate.
I can just let you know, I'm on the Transportation Committee for the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns. We have a conference call several times a year, and other communities are also experiencing difficulties with road projects and CSA. And one of the things that we've advocated is that the State Department of Transportation then made the liaison from the Department of Transportation to help communities deal CSA, somebody that's got experience and knows all the ins and outs, and I don't know if that would help or not, but I just thought I would share that other communities are having projects delayed because trying to get the cooperation.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation.
Mr. Mayor, I know that I asked for like the printouts of that. We've been getting that, like estimated future costs. Like what we'll be seeing. Is there any way, like within the next couple of meetings, we can get something?
If you look at the printout,
you want back?
Well, if you look at that and go through the columns,
you've got the estimate right there.
You have
percent of previous amount current.
Right, and
you'll
say current.
Let's go through my percent complete.
Percent complete.
Okay.
And you'll see about where all these line numbers are, all the dollar amounts.
All right, that's perfect.
Eventually, we'll have an inspection contract that will be added, just like we approved for the Heritage Trail. We'll have an inspection contract that'll come through about 4 months prior to letting.
Thank you very much.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of 4-24-2015 passes by voting orders. Next up is tonight I am requesting to look at Riverboat and Edit funds and see about purchasing 4 more police cars We talked about this, I'm not sure if this is now. The police cars aren't getting any better shape. My hope is to come up with a plan, I can say next year, to, along with when we get to replace a fire truck every 5 years, that we can replace so many police cars every 5 years. We can only schedule where we say something that has to come up before council in the future. But for now, we're requesting two out of Pettit, two out of Riverboat. We're also going to look at less than $5,000 to apply for some grant dollars that will help us replace the windows in the police department. We've got a major leaks with those windows. And that this, it is, that would be this garage spending money on replacing the replacement windows. They have to be carried to the building, and there's restrictions that we have to follow before we replace those windows. Also, and that's on the next ordinance, we have ordered 7 new defibs for the fire department. Chief has come up to speak to those. They had to be replaced. We couldn't wait. So we're going to have an order. So that's when you know that this is coming for you.
I have St. Pete staff, our chief, and since our department. The defibs was my top priority whenever I took over as fire chief. But little did I know that 2 weeks into it, that we were going to have a situation. Our engine 2 made a response for an unresponsive patient. Whenever they got there, the patient was in full cardiac arrest, and our defibrillators, they were purchased mid to late 1990s, to the point to where we can't even buy parts or batteries for them. But when engine 2 crew went to shock the patient, they could only get one shock per battery. They would have to change out the battery, put a new battery on to shock the patient for the second time. I came to the mayor and I don't want to say I demanded to him, but it was something that we had to have. So that's where we stood, and what I did is I placed a new defibrillator on every fire truck, including my vehicle, and one on the reserve fire truck. So we are good with defibrillators for a while. The good thing about it too is that these pads, that it's the same type of defibrillator that the ambulance service uses. If we get there first, we put our pads on the patient, unplug it from our machine, plug it into the ambulance service. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Sounds like go ahead and do it.
Absolutely.
Total cost is $23,769.10 for us.
Thank you.
Are you coming in the future?
That is on the next order.
Okay.
And I want to order 4 more police cars, but I don't want to order those. And
do we have a cost on them?
It runs about $35,000 to $40,000 per car by the time it's out.
I can talk a little bit about that. As far as total package price on a police car, it's not an easy job necessarily to tell you the exact price, because obviously when the police car comes in to the dealership, it's the shell, just the car, and then from that point, there's 2 or 3 other steps in businesses to get equipment ordered, and then a company that installs the equipment. The decaling is done from a different agency, and depending on what kind of equipment's being installed, there's a lot of different persons involved. But the mayor is correct. What you're looking at is between $35,000 and $40,000 is what it runs to get those totally outfitted, and that's talking about. With the lights, the radio, decaling, the camera equipment that's, we purchased 5 cameras before that to be installed in the new cars. That's about where we're at on outfitting one. And again, what I've kind of done
the last several years. I am actually not able to outfit the cars for what I, two cars for what I have in my budget to buy two cars is what I've been buying every year. So I've supplemented that money through either my federal seizure money or continuing ed money is what I've tried to use to make up some of those differences in the past on those. But if we could do four, that would be outstanding, and that would get us just that much closer to being on better ground for sure.
Now, I know the four doesn't solve our problem, but I mean, it gets us that one step closer. Absolutely. To recycling in, cycling out.
And get, yeah, we can
it
get
puts
some
us
cars
in a better financial position.
Right. Correct. We can, and we're very close to being in a much better position. We've done a great job over the last few years to get them, you know, closer and closer every year. We get a little bit closer, and this will be another great step.
How close are we to having take-home cars?
We, the first class patrolmen, they all do have take-home cars. Now, as you get down again closer to the bottom of the seniority list, I would say you're talking about some of the cars are, you know, between 150 and 200,000 miles, and they are, we're putting a lot of maintenance into them. You know, again, we've got several that are kind of in that shape, but if we could cut away at those, you know, with four more, we'd be in much better shape.
So when you get four more, you remember, does that mean you're going to retire four?
We'll retire four. We'll put four in and retire four. And we obviously would still be able to maintain where we're at as far as the ones that are issued, only they would be better cars if we wouldn't have to put the maintenance in.
You said we got the Chargers.
You know, it's, I would say be either the Chargers or the trucks, or, you know, if we can do two Chargers and two trucks, that way we have some four-wheel or all-wheel drive options in with those. They are very similar cost-wise. And trade-in value is a little better on the trucks. You know, the sheriff's department has went with a lot of trucks this last go-around. Very good cars are set up for patrol as well. They're not like the truck you buy that, or that you see rolling around. Like I spoke before about the Tahoe models that we get. It's not the Tahoe like you see somebody in one of these luxury Tahoes. They're set up for police work. The floors are rubberized in them, and it's you know, they're set up to be ruggedized for government work. So very good car set.
Impressively, if we just stuck with the two cars a year, I would like it. The car would have to last 18, 20 years.
Right, that's what we figured out as we looked at the, so, you know, as we rotate them out. We do still have some 1998, 1999 cars in our fleet.
Jesse, how many vehicles do you have?
I don't have my exact numbers with me. I would tell you that there is probably, there's in the neighborhood of 37 vehicles that we have. You figure, we have some of our vehicles, again, are pool cars for those officers that live outside of the county and that live, or that aren't first class patrolmen. They're coming in, getting into the pool cars, and we use those as well for training events, or if a vehicle is down being worked on, they have to have something to be able to get into for their shift during that. So currently, and we keep those, the newest cars, when they come in, they're part of the pool cars. We don't issue those out. We have those as pool cars, so that those four there are definitely the most dependable and best cars that we have on the lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this is certainly that's something we were aware of as we brought this to attention before. So, is there any objection to an ordinance coming to order?
This is something that we've talked about for a year now, and then, you know, Chief brought us, you know, even the mileage of each of the cars that he has and showed us how high some of those are. And I know this is something that's been a priority for us to finally get to a point where we can cycle in and cycle out. So, I mean, I think we're all.
Is the ordinance next meeting?
Well, what if it is, they'll probably get an order. Unless you want me to put an ordinance for the dollar amount. But
that'd be
cool. And then, that's the proper service that.
Oh,
Why don't you look at applying for some grant dollars, I think it's through DNR, to replace the windows or start replacing the windows in the police department. I don't know if you had the video on it, Johnson had the video, it looks like it's raining inside of there.
Sure. We have a fabulous building over there, really neat building, but it is 100 years old. We just had a company come in and take a look at our roof, and we were scared to death they were going to say you need to have a new roof. They didn't, they told us what needed to be done to get it up where it needed to be, and they were able to start working on that. In the neighborhood of $10,000 when we were worried it was going to be $100,000. So that was a plus, but we have been looking at our windows for quite some time now, and it's on the National Monument List. It is on the National Historic Review Board List, I guess is what it's called. Every 2 years we have to fill out a biennial report about anything that's done to our building, to the federal government. They obviously leased the building to us, I believe for $1, and we're required to maintain it. But to go along with that, anything that's done to the building has to be done to period, and they are very, very specific about it, and it has to be requested. The problem is there hasn't been a lot of grant dollars through the years whenever it comes time to look at doing something like that. Bob Dunham looked one time at trying to box in some of the above windows and making them a little smaller, and his proposal was denied. They didn't want them fixed like that. They want them to stay the way they are, and so it is quite costly. We became aware through SIDC of a grant for our type of building that recently, and we're in the process of getting applied for that to look at helping us fix some of our windows. And I believe the grant is up to $50,000. So that we can get a start, nothing else. Our windows on the back side of the building, because of the sun, are a lot worse than the front side. And whatever we can do to start, again, cutting away and getting some of those fixed, it's going to be a lot better on our electricity. And when it rains, it runs inside the building. So it's the roof, we have those problems fixed, and we're replacing some tiles that had been damaged there, but the windows are an issue. And the board that we report to every time, and I've done it twice now, that I send in my biennial report for my building, that is one of the areas that they talk to me about. Have you been able to do anything with your windows? Usually my response is, are you aware of any funding sources for us to take care of something like that? So this is just going to be a good opportunity. We hope to get some funds to get those windows worked on.
Given the position of the building, is there any possibility that would give you any slack on those windows on the back that are hardly visible unless you're on the house?
I'll give you for example on that. We had some windows in the upstairs of our building that aren't visible from the road because there's multiple roofs on our building. And they broke, and the previous chief replaced some of those with some very nice windows that worked very well. And they were very upset. And a matter of fact, they have twice now, whenever I've turned in my reports, reminded me of the fact that we replaced those windows with modern windows instead of the windows that they want, even though they're not visible. So that, again, they are sticklers about the property and about how you replace those.
But I remember that. Spend about $5,000 on the council. A report that the gentleman had been after the historic buildings and to his report to make it, I guess, and better the chances that we would get these grant dollars. The good thing is, if we receive the first grant, you can apply again.
Right,
because I mean, for another $50,000.
The windows are the biggest issue, definitely. But you know, there's also areas where, again, it's a big stone building. We have some areas where there's some problems with the stone and the steps and things like that. And we do the best we can to keep it maintained and keep the amount small. But if we could get help through grants to get them fixed up, that would be a great way for us to go.
Now, if we're lucky enough to get the grant, would that be able to get most of the windows, all the windows? I mean, that was probably
expensive. Yeah, at one point or another, I was told that they believed that it could be in the neighborhood of $150,000 to replace the windows in the building. But we're going to start with, we'll have the person come in, take a look at it, and tell us where we're at and what would need to be done. Because there's different ways they can do it. For instance, the Presbyterian Church across the street from us, they had a method done over there, and I believe there's some type of basically plexiglass that they mount on both sides of the window to preserve the window, but to make them efficient and sealed. So, but there's different methods that they can try to use.
Any questions?
Just for the heck of it, the congressman has a staff member in there, has an office up at the university. What Dave is out there.
Sure.
Why don't you take him out to lunch?
Yeah, we may have to do that.
Get congressman to cut us some slack. I'm just thinking on those windows on the back.
Right.
I don't know who would see the rest of it.
I agree with you.
Not crashing the alleys anymore.
And that was the idea of, boxing the top end with some type of shutters that would look to period, but that was a no-go.
Thank you, Chief.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on to ordinance 25-2015, Riverboat Fund, $56,807.
Mayor, we have first reading ordinance 25-2015.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rhodes, to have first reading of ordinance 25-2015.
Ordinance 25-2015, sections 1 and 2, both from Riverboat Fund. $56,834.21.
Discussion. This would be the configurator and the vehicle with the snow.
Right. And just to bring it to the last end, presently, in Riverboat, there is just over $500,000, and we have not received our money for this year, which is typically about $100,000. Right.
We've received our tax installment for the first installment for the first 6 months.
A Riverboat?
I'd say you go for this, right?
I don't know. I don't think we've received
no. No. I would agree with you.
There's a few dollar difference between the top agenda sheet and the ordinance.
Mr. Chapman, if you're looking at rounding up, when I do DLGF, they don't do cents, so I just move it to the next dollar, but it doesn't. Your ordinance is fine. It's just when I apply to DLGF, it's rounded to the highest dollar.
Can you might explain that? I understand that having the vehicle in the park department have a snowplow, that gives us an additional snowplow out of the street.
It lets us get into proper areas that we have problems with our bigger plows, right?
Right. That was, remember there was the thing that went out of their old truck, that's by a new one, and make it a heavier duty truck with the snow plow to help it. Any other discussion?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 25-2015 passes by a vote of 5-0. We want to claim.
Mr. Brown, will be approved claim totaling $673,085.65.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Rhodes, to pay the claim in the amount of $673,085.65.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Claims were paid by a vote of 5-0, and we have nothing under this one. Do you think the motion to adjourn?
Not really.